people. I mean that in two different ways. Number one, I mean that in the sense that he was able to attract a variety of people. For example, if Jesus were in a room, there might be 10 people, for example, that all came from different backgrounds, had different stories to tell, different economic classes, and yet Jesus would make them all feel as though he had something to offer them, or that they should listen to him. It didn't matter how diverse the crowd was in front of them, in front of him, all of them would be attracted to Jesus. That's not something very easy to do. And yet Jesus was able to do this. And it's really quite amazing because when you think about Christianity, at least myself, I didn't initially feel that Jesus had something to offer me. I had much pride and prejudice. Amen. And I felt that Christianity was just for a certain kind of people. In some cases, some people think that Christianity is just for a certain race. Some people think Christianity is just for certain countries. Some people think Christianity is just for good people. But Jesus has something to offer everybody. Everybody. And it's interesting because Jesus could attract prostitutes and priests. He could attract able-bodied people and crippled people. He could attract, amen, people that spoke different languages, Syrophoenicians, Jews, and Gentiles. Amen. He could attract people from the whole spectrum of life, if you will. Now, Jesus wasn't only able to attract a variety of people. Jesus was able to attract a lot of people. Eight times the Gospels talk about the fame of Jesus spreading throughout the land. Jesus was famous, y'all. Everybody knew who Jesus was. Jesus wasn't hiding. And if Jesus wasn't hiding, you shouldn't hide Jesus either. Because I know we got some covert Christians here this morning. You don't want nobody to know you here. Don't hide Jesus, because Jesus ain't trying to hide. I know there's some of y'all, you ain't going to tell nobody where you were at this morning. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to let everybody know where you were at this morning. It's okay to not be home watching football this morning. It's okay to be here plugged into the presence of God this morning. Amen. I remember when I first came to God, I didn't want anybody to know where I was going Sunday morning. It was between me and Jesus. But Jesus was famous. Everybody knew who Jesus was. It didn't matter whether they were his the followers of his followers or even his enemies. Everybody knew who Jesus was, from politicians to paupers, from the rich to the poor, from the middle class to the upper class. Everybody knew who Jesus was. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, when he came before Jesus, he told Jesus, we know who you are. And yet it was only one man. But obviously, him and all his friends had been discussing who Jesus was. And so he was famous. Not only was Jesus famous, he was liked. He was desired by children, by adults, by the elderly. It didn't matter. Everywhere Jesus went, people would flock to him by the droves. On one particular occasion, the Bible says that Jesus was preaching at the beach, by the seaside, the Bible calls it. And it got so packed at the beach that he had to actually get in a boat just to finish his sermon because so many people had shown up. It didn't matter where Jesus went. When he showed up to a place, if that place was empty, it would fill up. If Jesus showed up to a house, that house would fill up. Amen. One of the very first miracles that Jesus ever does, he's at the house of Peter in the book of Mark. And the Bible says that that Peter's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus healed her. I know you would have let her die, but he healed her. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And the Bible says that she gets up to minister to Peter and to Jesus. And just two verses later, all of a sudden the Bible says that the whole town came out to Peter's house. And all night Jesus healed people and cast out devils. This little house that probably only had four or five people sitting in it, now all of a sudden is filled. Amen. The whole town comes out to Peter's house. Amen. The Bible talks about Jesus being in the wilderness. Amen. And preaching and teaching. And the Bible says that it filled up with people. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can only imagine that it's hard to fill up a wilderness. Amen. You're talking about a big open land, and yet Jesus would fill up the wilderness, amen, full of people, amen. Everywhere Jesus went, those places would fill up. Jesus could easily, without even trying, amen, fill up empty places. If he walked down a street, it didn't matter how empty that street was, amen. By the time he was just a couple of steps down that street, that empty street would fill up with people wanting to touch him, wanting to be healed, amen. Jesus filled empty houses. He filled empty streets. He filled empty lands. He filled everywhere he went, those places would fill up. Now, you got to understand something about Jesus. He don't like empty stuff. The very first miracle that Jesus ever did, the Bible says he turned water into wine. But before he ever turned water into wine, he looked at the water pots and he said, "Fill them up. Fill them up. I don't want any empty stuff. I only do miracles with full stuff." Amen. I'm telling you, no matter who you are, if you want a touch of God, don't come here empty-handed. Don't come here with your mouth empty. You need to come here with your mouth full of praise. You need to come here with your hands full of praise. You need to come here with your feet full of praise. If you will give God, come on, don't come to church empty. Don't come. You know, I appreciate. I I'm not here to attack Dawson on the side, but you know, Dawson made a statement when we took up the offering. He said, "You know, if you're a visitor, you don't have to give," and we understand that, and that's good. But if you're a visitor, you ought to give. You ought to give something. Don't just come to church empty-handed. Come with something. Come with something. I don't want to rob you. I don't want to cheat you. I'm not even out for your money. But I want you to know you're going to get a whole lot more out of this if you put a little bit something into it. Amen. I got news for you. If you decide to give some money, God will bless you. I'm not kidding. I've seen it. If you decide to give God some praise, he'll bless you. If you desire to give God a shout, he'll bless you. If you come with a mouthful, he'll bless you. Our God blesses full things. Not only could Jesus fill empty places, he could fill empty things. Amen. My Bible tells me that the fisher, that his disciples had been fishing all night long. And Jesus met them at the seaside. And he shouted out unto them. He said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered back. They said, "We've been toiling. We've been fishing all night long. And we have nothing. Our nets are empty." And Jesus said, "Cast your net one more time." And when they cast their net the second time, amen, the Bible says that their nets filled up with fishes. Amen. Jesus could fill empty nets. If I was broke, I'd be shouting right now. If I'm trying to start my own business and it ain't going good, I'd be shouting right now. If I ain't got no food in the cupboard, I'd be shouting right now. If I had an empty wallet, I'd be shouting right now. If I had an empty purse, I'd be shouting right now. I'm telling you, he fills empty stuff. God will take care of you. I said, God will take care of you. This really is not part of my message, but I want you to know something. Jesus told his disciples, "Cast your net one more time." Sometimes you got to just flat out shake off discouragement. You got to just try again. Amen. There's something powerful about just trying again and again and again and again and again. You got to just keep trying. Sometimes, you know, life will work you over. to the point where you don't want to try anymore. You'll just think, you know, I can't get beyond this. I can't get over this. You know, we live in a society today that is so bent on making us believe that you cannot genetically escape some things, that you cannot biologically escape some things, and that fate rules and that nature rules, and that there's just some stuff you're never going to be able to conquer. I got news for you. There's some stuff you might never be able to change, but there is some stuff you can always change. You can change your attitude. You can change your faith. You can change your perception. I've seen people with some bad health have a good attitude. I've seen people with some bad genes behave good. Amen. I've seen people in some bad situations do right. There are some things you can change. You got to just cast your net again. You got to keep putting your faith in God again. You got to keep obeying His voice again. If Jesus said do it, just do it. Jesus filled empty baskets. The Bible says that He was out in the wilderness preaching. Amen. And the Bible says that the people were hungry. Amen. And they had no food. Jesus wasn't only going to fill empty baskets full of food. He was going to fill empty stomachs. Amen. The Bible did not say they had hors d'oeuvres and snack. The Bible says they all ate till they were filled. Amen. Till they were satiated, one scripture says. Amen. Jesus fed the multitudes. They had empty baskets. They didn't know how they were going to feed everybody. And Jesus fed everybody. Jesus filled, amen, empty places. Jesus filled empty things. Jesus could fill anything. But perhaps the most powerful thing Jesus ever did, perhaps the most amazing thing Jesus ever filled, was people. Jesus fills empty people. Now, let me just slow down here for 1 second. A lot of people don't consider themselves empty. You know, when I say that somebody's empty, some people struggle with that. You know, they think, well, I don't feel empty. You know, I feel pretty good. Well, according to the Bible, if you don't have God's Spirit living inside of you, resident inside of you, you're empty. The world is in a place right now where it's just constantly consuming. It consumes morbid amounts of media, morbid amounts of alcohol, morbid amounts of drugs, morbid amounts of entertainment, morbid amounts of you name it. I mean, we could go down the list. And if all these things really satisfied, we wouldn't be taking them in such large quantities. Because when something really satisfies you, you stop. If Facebook was really making you that happy, you wouldn't be on it while I'm preaching. If drinking was really that fun, you would only, if it really satisfied you, you wouldn't keep doing it all the time. We got to get it in our head that we need something that can really get in us. I mean, that goes past the belly, that goes past the eyes, that goes past the ear, something that gets deep down past the flesh into our soul, and it takes residence in there, and it satiates us, it fills us up, it keeps us satisfied. It's more than bread, it's more than music, it's more than images, it's more than entertainment. It's God living inside of us. I'm not going to preach long. I don't have plans to. But let me tell you why you need Jesus to fill you up. Let me tell you something we know for a fact. You know, you hear everybody talking about, I'm so tired of all the craziness in the world. I'm so tired of all the evil in the world. I'm so tired of all this stuff in my life. Here's the truth. We never grow tired of doing evil. You will never find a shortage of energy in the human soul when it comes to doing wrong. You don't even got to teach kids how to do wrong. I know they got pigtails and they're cute and lack a couple of teeth, but there's a little devil in there. Most kids, their first word isn't yours, it's mine. My daughter's 2 years old, cute as a button. Favorite word right now is no. No. We're going to work that out of her real quick. You know what we grow tired of? Doing good. We don't grow tired of doing evil. We grow tired of doing good. In fact, this is why the Bible exhorts us. It says, be not weary in well-doing. Because the apostle knew when it comes to doing good, we get tired really quick. We don't get tired of gossiping, but we do get tired of keeping our mouth shut. We don't get tired of cussing. We get tired of blessing. We don't get tired of fighting. We get tired of turning the cheek. Well, y'all better help me preach. I'll find you. We get tired really quick of doing good. We need something in us that doesn't get tired. We need something in us that has an eternal source of energy. We need something in us that can go the long run. We need something in us that's beyond us. We need something in us that's greater than us. We need something in us that's more powerful than us. We need something in us that can tell us every day without ceasing, don't say that, don't do that, go this way, not that way, be quiet, turn the cheek, go to church, get your praise on, shout. Love him again. Love her again. Don't give up. Get up. Stay strong. You're going to be all right. See, I get tired of telling myself that, but God don't get tired of telling me that. And he could do it every day, all day. I can't do that every day, all day. But God can do that every day, all day. And the only way that happens is when you get filled up with Jesus. You got to get filled up with Jesus. Jesus filled all his apostles with his spirit. Jesus filled his own mother with his spirit. Amen. Acts 1:14 tells us that on the day of Pentecost, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And he filled her with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peter, Paul, Mark, John, Matthew, Luke, all these guys were filled with the spirit of Jesus. And when they were filled, the Bible says they spoke with other tongues. When you get the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in tongues. That's exactly what'll happen. Hey, listen. On the day of Pentecost, these people were already followers, but they weren't filled. You can be a follower and not be filled. You know, there's people here, you're probably decent people. You're probably okay people. You might even already be a follower of Jesus. But that doesn't mean you're filled. You can follow Jesus and not be filled. You can love Jesus and not be filled. You can praise Jesus and not be filled. The only way you know that you're filled is there'll be a sound that comes from heaven, the Bible says. There'll be a sound. Now, I really need a minister here just for 1 second. Y'all can be seated. I'm not going to be long, I promise. This is the most challenging part of this service right here. Hands down, this is going to be my roughest point. Listen. There comes a point where you have to experience what the Bible says. Not just read it, but experience it. Because the Bible, it's not just any book. It's not like It's not like other books or novels or whatever that you just read and you don't have to experience Shakespeare. You don't have to experience Dr. Seuss. You can just read it. You could be, you know, you don't need to be attached to it in any way. But the Bible demands, the Bible makes claims, and the Bible expects you to take it at its claims. And these claims include you experiencing something. I'm going to be very frank and honest with you. I was not raised a Christian. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was not raised around Christianity. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. If Christianity did not have a real experience attached to it, and I mean a real experience, I would have nothing to do with it. Because on my plane right here, I was sitting next to a Mormon lady. And I told her this. And I'll tell you this. Religion's dangerous. I don't care if you're talking about Mormonism or Islam. You start dabbling with just religion, it'll mess you up. You start fooling around just with religion, it'll mess your mind up. You can focus in so much on religion, you'll miss God. At some point or another, you've got to have an experience with God. That you can't just be reading the Bible. You can't just be memorizing scripture, and I'm all for that. I think that's good. I think that's godly. I think you ought to do it. But I'm telling you, at one point or another, you got to know that what you're memorizing and what you're putting in your head is actually attached to a person, a being, and that that being wants to have interaction with you. And let me tell you what my Bible says. My Bible says that he will come and live inside of you. Jesus said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah. He said, I shall put my laws in their hearts. Amen. I'll give them hearts of flesh for their hearts of stone. At some point, I'm telling you, God wants to live inside of you. Can I be so honest with you? And I might lose one or two of you here. That's all right. You need to open up to this. Listen, there's no such thing as a Romans chapter 10 revival in the Bible. Never in the Bible. Never. Everyone say never.
Never,
never in the Bible did the apostles go around getting masses of people to accept Jesus as their Savior. They never did that. They didn't do it in Samaria. They didn't do it in Jerusalem. They didn't do it wherever. They didn't do it in Rome. They didn't do it in Galatia. They didn't know where they went. Did they say, all y'all got to do is raise your hands and tell Jesus you love him and tell him he's your Savior? They never told people accept Jesus, because quite frankly, we don't need to accept him. He needs to accept us. There ain't nothing wrong with him. There's something wrong with you. You never see this behavior in the Bible. In fact, if you want to be honest, that really didn't start until that's pretty recent activity. That started with good old Billy Graham. And if you love Billy, God bless you. But that's not in the Bible. You never see these mass, let's all just love Jesus. What we do see is the apostles telling people, you must repent. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus. For, everyone shout for. Say for. For the remission of your sins. Not because your sins have been remitted, for the remission of your sins. You don't get baptized because your sins have been forgiven. You get baptized to have your sins forgiven. What we do see, listen. I promise you, I'm not going to be much longer. I promise you, I'm not sitting here just spitting out at the mouth. I promise you, I'm not just here telling you my ideas. I promise you that for the next few minutes, I will give you as much Bible as I can. Listen, not just you, me, all of us, at the end of the day, we got to come to terms with what the Bible says. what the Bible says, not what we think, not what somebody teaches us, not what somebody talks us out of, but what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that every time they received the Spirit of God, they spoke in other tongues. In Acts chapter 2, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues. In Acts chapter 8, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues. In Acts chapter 10, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues. In Acts chapter 19, here we see that Paul is talking to the disciples of John the Baptist. These guys were devout men, the Bible calls them. These guys were people that had followed John. They were living right. They were living holy. They were repented. But Paul asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard that there was a Holy Ghost. We ain't even heard about this. And then he asked them, well, then how were you baptized? They said, we were baptized unto John's baptism, the baptism of repentance. And the first thing Paul did is he ordered them to all be rebaptized. It's okay to be rebaptized. He ordered them to be rebaptized. And the Bible says that they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, 12 men. And the Bible says the Apostle Paul laid his hands on them and it said they all began to speak with tongues and prophesy. Amen. This is Bible. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching to Cornelius and his whole household. And the Bible says while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they all began to speak in other tongues. This is the way it was done in the Bible. This is the way they were filled with the Spirit. We need to pray right here, right now. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Here we go. Listen, I did not come. There are people here. There are people here. There are people here. You're good people. You're a follower. You're a believer. I want you to know I did not come to destroy what you have. I came to build on what you have. And you know better than I do that God's got more for you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't actually get God living inside of you, moving inside of you. See, here's the danger, all right? Let's be real. Let's be real for 1 minute. What happens here in Alabama, and it happens all over the U.S., but it happens a lot here, is you got a lot of people that think Christianity is like the national religion. Right? So you got folks that think, well, Asians are Buddhists, Arabs are Muslims, Americans are Christians. Well, what you got there, friend, is nothing more than nationalism. And religion. And you can actually go your whole life like that. Because for you, it's just a cultural thing. But Christianity was never meant to be that. Christianity was never meant to just be your national religion. Well, y'all getting quiet on me now. The center of Christianity is a person. His name is Christ. It's Jesus. He's not just trying to get you to pledge allegiance and vote Republican. He wants to live inside of you, people. I'm telling you, he's not just trying to get you to stand against abortion and pack a rifle. He wants to live inside of you. He's not just trying to line you up nationally and politically. That's not his agenda. His agenda is to live inside of you. I don't want to live my whole life finding out that I was just conformed. The Bible doesn't talk about being conformed. It talks about being transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to pray. Let's pray just for one. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I'm losing. Hallelujah.
Hey, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. I'm for all of it. I love our country. I love all this. But I'm telling you right now, Christianity is much more than this. It's not just my national religion. You could be a Christian anywhere. Amen. You could be a Christian here. You could be a Christian in Asia. But the bottom line is, Christ wants to live inside of you. He doesn't want you just to adore him as some dead object. He's not that. He's a living God. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to fill you up. And let me tell you something about Jesus. When he fills you up, he fills all of you. He doesn't just fill some of you. He doesn't just fill a part of you. He'll fill all of you. You know, I know people, you know, they get to praising God, their handshake, you know. They'd be like, God's in my hand. God doesn't just want to live in your hand. I'm sure he's happy to be there. But he wants to fill all of you. Every aspect of you. Your mind, your body, your soul. God will fill your mind. The Bible says it this way: we have the mind of Christ. When you get the Holy Ghost, listen, this is good. You know, life is somewhat paradoxical. It's odd. It's not what you, life's not always logical. So, you know, when you look on the outside, we have two of everything. Two ears, two nostrils, two eyes, two hands, two feet. We have sets. But when you look on the inside of the human body, it's not like that. Especially with the vital organs. Like, we could use two brains. You could use two hearts. High cholesterol, blood pressure, no problem. You got another one. You could use two pancreases. You could use two livers. But you don't get that. Spiritually speaking, when you get the Holy Ghost, you do get two brains. You get your brain, you get to keep your brain, and you get the mind of Christ. Another brain that don't think like your messed up brain. Another brain that don't got the warped ideas that your brain's got. You get another brain that thinks differently than your brain. You get a brain that's smarter than your brain. You get a brain that's wiser than your brain. It's smarter than your brain. It's got better advice than your brain. The Bible calls it our counselor. Amen. You get another heart. You get a whole new set of emotions you've never had. I'm telling you. He'll fill up your heart. The Bible says that he has poured out his spirit into our hearts. Amen. The spirit of adoption. And we are now the sons and daughters of God. And we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit says. The Bible says. Amen. God will fill your brain. He'll fill your heart. He'll fill your soul. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. He'll fill your mind. He'll fill your heart. He'll fill your soul. He'll fill your body. The Bible calls your body the temple of God. Amen. The temple of God. Here's the powerful thing, and I'm done. Of all the interesting labels and nicknames that the Bible gives humanity, the most powerful one is the temple of God. It calls us the temple, the tabernacle. And you know what the temple of God was in the tabernacle? It was that one thing between heaven and earth that connected heaven and earth. It was that thing, that tent, that temple that connected the eternal and the temporal. It was the place where God dwelt. Your body is God's house of worship. God didn't create you to get your swag on. God didn't create you so you could walk it out. God didn't create you so you could tattoo yourself and pierce yourself. I know people. Listen, Jesus don't want his name tattooed all over you. Jesus don't want to be on your chest, on your arm, on your back. He wants to be in your heart. Listen, some of y'all might need to come talk to me after church. I'm telling you, Jesus is not okay with us tattooing our bodies. And let me tell you something. Number one, your body's not yours. And I know people, they say, well, I'll get a tattoo, you know, to show God how much I love him, to remind me. If you need a tattoo to remind you that you love God, if you need, there is no tattoo that glorifies God. Tattooing is not one of those things that we can do. You know, listen, I used to work at a tattoo shop. There is no tattoo artist out there trying to glorify God. I know people, I know Christians that will teach that not getting tattooed or that tattoos, not having them, is nothing more than part of the Old Testament Levitical law. God was so on it, God said, you will not cut yourself. A tattoo is a cut. It's not a piercing, it's a cut. God said, you will not cut yourself for the dead. What he's saying is you're not going to put the name of your dead mom on your arm. And let me tell you something about your dead mom. She doesn't want to be remembered on your arm anyways. If anything, she wants to be in your heart too. That's where the memory of your mother should be. And I'm not, you know, if you sit here with your mom's name on your arm, I'm not dogging you. I'm telling you, I understand. But I'm telling, God doesn't want you... Listen, if God told his people, the Jews, his Old Testament people, I don't want you doing that. That is not a ceremonial law. That's God's advice to them. That's God's commandment to them as to how they should treat their bodies. That is not a ceremonial law. You will not cut the ends of your beard. That's a ceremonial law. Don't tattoo yourself is not a ceremonial law. That's God saying your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. Don't. God saying you will only eat fruit from a tree that's been around this long. That's ceremonial law. Don't tattoo your body. Has nothing to do with the ceremonial law. That's God saying your body is my temple. I live in it. I don't need it painted. I don't need it tattooed. I don't need it pierced. I don't need it. That ain't your wall to be vandalizing. That ain't your body. That's my body. I made it. I created it. I want. I'm telling you. I'm talking to people right now. You need to leave your body alone. I always know when somebody's flipping out, Josh, because they'll start tattooing themselves, they'll start piercing themselves, and I always know when someone's losing their mind. And I know, you know, you got all kinds of crazy people that think they're normal. They're not. You know, people want to sleep around all day and think they're still normal. People want to wake up next to strangers in all kinds of bad situations, all kinds of holes in their face, all kinds of writing on their body, look like a crayon book, and think they're normal. It's not normal. It's not normal to hurt yourself. It is not normal to pay somebody to hurt you. That's y'all want me to be real with you? Listen. And you got to preach like this. I don't want to preach like this, but you got to. When I got saved, I'm telling you, when I got saved, I got rid of all my friends. If you didn't want to come to church, I was cutting you off. That was it. You ain't coming? I remember I had a friend. He got all up in my face. Well, you think you all that now because you go to church. You don't kick it no more. Woo, 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 woo. But you know, you turn the table around. Well, you don't come to church. I'm the bad guy because I don't go to the party, but you're the good guy because you don't come to church. Let's make it go both ways. I'll kick it if you kick it. And honestly, most of my friends came to God. Most of my friends. I had very few that did not. Now, when I worked at a tattoo shop, the guy I worked for, he was my friend. He was a very good friend of mine. He knew my mom. He knew my parents. I mean, I was tight with him. And he was the only person I could not shake out of my life. You know why? Because he had tattooed my body. I had piercings. He had pierced me, tattooed me, and in his eyes, I was his property. Because the Bible says, who you yield your members to, you're the servant thereof. And I'm telling you, I know tattoo artists. I know what they're like. The minute they tattoo you, they look at you like you're their property. Their signature, even though it's not in letters, is on your body. I know somebody's thinking around, this man's lost his mind. You've lost your mind. If you'll be honest with yourself, you don't got to stand up and testify. But if you'll be honest with yourself, you will admit that the minute you started piercing yourself, tattooing yourself, you started doing other things too. Because the devil wants a total defilement. And your body's the last stop. And if he can get you to defile your body, to defile your flesh, it's all game after that. It's open season. If I can get you to vandalize your body, I can get you to do anything. If I can get you to pay a man to write his name on you, I can get you to sleep with anybody. If I can get you to pay somebody to put a hole through your nose and through your ears and through your eyebrow, I can get you to do anything. I'm preaching better than some of y'all are responding. And I'm okay with that. I can get you to drink more than you want to drink. I can get you to smoke more than you want to smoke. I can get you to sleep around more than you want to sleep around. You are my slave. You are my slave. My name is on you. My rings are in your mouth. My rings are in your ears. My rings are in your eyebrow. My rings are in your nose. You're mine. I'm done. Listen. I had a friend. Let's all stand. I had a friend. I had a friend, he was raised in church. His grandpa is a pastor. His parents went nuts. He stayed in church for years and then he left church and he went bad, he went sour. When he was out there, he started getting all pierced up. Tongue, ears, eyes, nose. But I'll never forget the day he came back to church. He came up to the altar. I'll never forget my brother-in-law was praying with him. He raised up his hands. He started shouting and screaming. laid our hands on him. And just in seconds, God filled him with the Holy Ghost, brand new. But I remember the minute Jesus filled him up, he reached in his mouth, pulled out the tongue ring. Reached in his ears, pulled off those earrings. Because when you really get full of God, when you really get full of God, you don't see any reason. You realize it's all in here. And you see things for what they really are. I'm telling you the truth. And this is not part of my message. This is not where I was aiming. This is not where I was going. But I'm not afraid to teach this. I'm not afraid to preach this. I'm not afraid to say this. There's some people, you got to outright hit the altar today and take some of those rings out of you. Not for me, not for the sake of my preaching, not for the sake of my sermon. There's some people here, you don't even got to take anything out. But what you do got to do is you got to come up here, you got to present your body before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I have defiled my body, which isn't even mine to defile. Real talk. Real talk. Last statement of the day. I'm tired. Real talk. John the Baptist told Herodias and Herod, he said, y'all are living in adultery. Y'all ain't right. And you know what they said? Off with his head. And they killed John. But that didn't change the fact that they were in adultery. You can hate me all you want. You can get mad at me all you want. You can cut me off right now if you want. But that don't change the truth. You can look at your neighbor and say, you know what? We're going back to our church. These people are crazy. That don't change nothing either. You ain't running from me. You're running from the Word. And you'll never escape the Word shadow. It'll follow you to your church. It'll follow you home. It's going with you in the car. So you might as well just pony up. Just pony up. Pony up to God and say, you know what, God? I'm tripping. I'm out of my mind. And I need you to put me in my right mind. And I need you to forgive me. And I need you to renew me. And I need you to restore me. And above all else, God, I need you to fill me. I need you to fill me. Come on, somebody. I need you to fill me, Jesus. I need you to fill my heart. I need you to fill my mind. I need you to fill my soul. I need you to fill my spirit. I need you to fill my body. Every hand lifted up right now. This is the altar call here in just about 3 seconds. Somebody shout Jesus. Now just give me 1 second. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken other tongues, I want you to come up here. Come up here. If you've never spoken other tongues, I want you to come up here. I'm going to wait. I even told the musicians to stop because I'm going to wait. I don't normally do this. Thank you. I don't normally do this. If you're sitting next to somebody that you know they don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to go over to them and say, you know what? He's talking to you. Come on up here. Stand in a nice line. No, don't bring them up here too much. I don't mind them being up here, but stand in line. Come on. You already got it. You spoke in tongues before? Thank you. Ma'am, you ever spoke in tongues? Not really. Well, if you are not really, you can come too. We are accepting not reallys. Are you up here to pray? God bless you. Come stand over here. What is your name? Tiffany. Tiffany, God loves you. I don't want no sad music. Nobody's dying. I don't want slow music. I don't want medium. I don't even want smedium. I want fast music. We're going to praise God. Now, hold on. I'm not going to make you guys stand up here more than 3 minutes. So there's people here. You're listening to me preach. You know what I'm saying, and you're still sitting in your chair. You're standing near your chair. You need to get up and get up here. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. I'm not here to attack you. You know, the biggest trick of the devil is that while I'm preaching, he'll tell you, this guy's me. Look at him. He's yelling. He's yelling at you. Why is he so loud? Why is he yelling at me? They invited me to church to chew me out. I'm not yelling at you. And I'm not mean. I'm one of the nicest guys you know. And I'm not chewing you out. You know what I'm doing? I'm yelling at that devil that's got you bound. I'm yelling. Quit thinking it's all about you. It ain't about you. I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you who else I'll pray for. I'll pray for people who don't know if they have the Holy Ghost. I know what it is to be in church for years. I know what it is to be in church and not know if you have the Holy Ghost, thinking you got it. I know what it is to be a not really. You don't have to live like that. 60 seconds. I'll wait 60 seconds because these good people are waiting. If I'm telling you right now, if you've never spoken in tongues, if you have never spoken in tongues, you might be good, you might be lovely, you might be great, you might be a good mom, you might be a good dad, you may not be, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. All right. I love you. You can come back tonight. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Church ready? You know, I don't feel like y'all are as excited as I am. I feel excited. I actually feel happy right now, in spite of what some people think. So let's spread out just a little bit. Scoot over this way. Let's make some room for everybody. Scoot over. Here we go. God bless you. You love God? God loves you. Y'all going to pray? You going to pray? Listen, for the next 30 seconds, you do what I tell you. Don't do more. Don't do less. Just do what I tell you. If you do what I tell you, God will bless you. If you do more or less, you're going to struggle the whole time you're up here. But if you'll just do what I tell you, you'll never have to do what I tell you again, just today. If you do what I tell you, God will bless you. Isn't that right? Yes. God will bless you. I promise you, you will feel the presence of God touch you in a special way, in a way you've never felt in all your life. But you got to do what I tell you. Don't do more, don't do less. Everyone say, don't do more, don't do less. Say, do as you're told. Y'all ready? I want you to raise your hands like this. From this moment on, don't let your head go down anymore. From this moment on, keep your head up. You are praying to God. God loves you. You don't need to put your head down. He's not mad at you. He loves you. I want you to close your eyes. Keep your hands open. Hold on. Keep your hands open. Close your eyes. Lift up your head. I want you to repeat after me. This is good for all the church. Everyone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Forgive me.
Of all my sins.
And all the bad things.
That I've ever done.
That are against your word.
And against your will.
Jesus.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With your spirit.
Speaking in tongues.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going
to ask you a question. I want you to answer me. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe you can get the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Do you believe you'll speak in tongues?
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes.
I want everybody to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is God's favorite word. On the count of three, y'all listen, on the count of three, close your eyes, raise your hands, lift your head, and begin to shout hallelujah with all your heart. Don't stop saying it. Just worship God. Don't say hallelujah, Jesus, I love you, Lord, Lamb of God. Don't say none of that. Just say hallelujah, hallelujah. And as you're saying hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you. And you're going to speak in other tongues. You're going to feel like you can't say it anymore. And your tongue's going to loose. And you'll speak in other tongues. You believe that?
Yes.
You believe that?
Hands.
One, two, close your eyes, lift up your hands, three, hallelujah, here it comes. I need some people to help me pray. Holy Ghost right now. That's one. There it is. She's speaking in tongues right now. There, you got it. You got it now. You got it.
Yeah.
Somebody's just got the Holy Ghost right now.
Holy Ghost River.
Stepped in the